The stock market is about to collapse. So spiritual awakening is becoming awake to the aliveness of this moment. And becoming awake to the aliveness of this moment, the all there ever is, nothing else is ever going to come. You can wait for millions of years if you lived that long. Nothing is ever going to come that's not this moment. Your life will always be this moment. And that's a, it sounds, well, we know that. No, you don't. If you don't live it, you don't know it. Life is always this moment. You don't know this if you don't live it. It's only through living it that you know it. Otherwise, it's just a concept in your head. Yeah, of course, life is always this moment. And then what's next? Where's the next moment? So you might as well then become friendly with this moment. If there's nothing else, be open to that. Don't stifle it with an excessive amount of judgments and interpretations and definitions, but be open to the aliveness of this moment. Open means there's spaciousness here. So the shift is from a thought-based entity, which is the normal old way for humans, been for thousands of years, to a deeper entity that is based in awareness or presence, consciousness. So because when you're not commenting on things compulsively, who are you? When you're not continuously thinking about me and my problems, at this very moment, let's say, pretend that you don't remember your past at this moment. In fact, you don't, because at this moment, unless you start a certain thought process, at this moment, your past is not here. You're just sitting here now. But pretend for a moment, actually, there is no past and there's no future. What's left of you? If I removed from your past and your future from you now, what's left? I remember nothing. What's left? I don't remember my name. Who are you? I don't know. But there must be something there. Yes, there is something there, but I can't say what it is. That's who you are. Consciousness itself. When you remove the content from consciousness for a while, then you realize that you are consciousness. When the content is thoughts and emotions and thoughts and thoughts, when the content comes back, it obscures the reality that you are consciousness and you identify with content. And that's why some people have been able to awaken spiritually, because life took away their content. They lost everything suddenly. They lost their reputation, in other words, their name. It happens sometimes that life does these things to people. They lost their money, their possessions, they lost even their family. They suddenly were killed in an accident, a big earthquake came, everything lost, and they sit there, their house is in ruins, everything gone, and suddenly, some of these people suddenly had a deep spiritual awakening. Why? Because life took away all the things that they had identified with as themselves, as the me, and what was left was what we just did now here. When I asked you to pretend that there's no past and future, we took away for a moment content from your life. And what is when you remove content, because content is going to disappear anyway. It's not permanent. Whatever content you have is impermanent in your life. things come and go. Or as the Buddha says, it's impermanence is the word, transient. Everything is transient, and that refers to content. So as long as you are identified with all the content in your life, that can go very quickly. Even your body can go very quickly. But if you just, beyond content is consciousness itself, rather than what consciousness has identified with. And you are that. I am that. You and I, on that level, are the same. We are, in essence, the essence of who you are is consciousness. Everything else is added temporarily. It's a disguise, consciousness disguising itself as this and that person, appearing in this particular form. That's the play, Leela, the divine play of life, as it's called in India. And that's fine. The play is not to be rejected. It's, but you can only enjoy the play of the phenomenal existence if you know what is beyond phenomenal existence. So it's only if you know who you are beyond all the things in your life, you can actually truly enjoy the things in your life while they last. And you don't need to cling, because you know nothing is going to last. Relationships, whatever. It's only very young people who think there are lasting things. Then you reach a certain age and you realize, oh, it's so many things have evaporated that I thought were permanent. And more things are going to evaporate. And a few more things are going to come and then evaporate. So not to live, and your life is no longer content-based, but essence-based. I'm giving you here, in one little talk, the entire essence of what spirituality really is all about. And that's what it is. There's not much else that you need to know beyond that, in the sense of knowledge, accumulated knowledge. It is now a question of living that. And if you don't want to live it, that's fine. It means you have to suffer a bit more until you're ready to make this shift, until the shift begins to happen. A human being needs to reach the point of readiness where they say, okay, I've done enough madness, I've suffered enough, I'm ready for the shift. I'm ready to say, okay, this moment is all there ever is. I might as well become friendly with it, acknowledge it, give it attention in whatever form it comes. Because the form is not the moment. It's the form that this moment takes, the now. It's not what happens. The now is not what happens. It's the space in which it happens. And essentially, it is that space is consciousness. Everything happens in the light of consciousness. You can say, as some philosophers have done, they question everything. Some philosophers have said, is there anything I can be absolutely sure of? Because everything can be doubted. I can doubt that you exist. You can doubt that I exist. It could be a dream. Who says we are not dreaming right now? Who says that us sitting here is not a dream? You cannot know for sure. But even if it is a dream, there must be something real there, because the dream must appear to something or someone. There must be a light in which the dream appears, a space in which the dream happens. So even if it is a dream, the one thing you cannot question is the fact of being itself, being is. The being may be a dream or it may not be a dream. But one thing you can be certain is that you are. I am is something that you that cannot be doubted. If I'm dreaming that I am, it's still it's the essence of I am is still there in the dream then. And that's an amazing thing, that's to realize there's one thing that is beyond doubt, and that's I am. It's not as the philosopher Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. He confused consciousness with thinking, perhaps because he was always thinking. So he couldn't stop thinking, and then he said, okay, then if I can't stop thinking, then the essence of who I am must be thinking. I think, therefore I know that I am. Well, he stopped too soon. He should have taken one more step and realized that beyond thinking, there's consciousness. And then realized, because I am conscious, I am. Because there is consciousness, I am. I am that consciousness. And that consciousness that people believe in our civilization, that the consciousness is a byproduct of chemical reactions in the brain. And many psychologists or scientists actually doubt that there is such a thing as consciousness. They say, no, there is no consciousness, it's just a chemical soup. But they do recognize that the brain is the most complex thing on the planet. And they'd understand a tiny fraction of it only. So who built that incredibly complex thing through which consciousness comes, if not consciousness? So consciousness is prior to whatever appears here. And what is the relationship between the brain and consciousness? Even some scientists are beginning to say that recognize the possibility that consciousness may be all pervasive throughout the universe, and the brain is like a lens through which consciousness enters this dimension. So it's like a receiver. It reduces and receives consciousness. So when you eliminate the brain, it does not mean you eliminate consciousness. You eliminate the receiver. Like a TV, you can smash the TV and suddenly the image disappears. But the TV didn't produce the image. So that is our meditation. I am consciousness. Not something to believe in, but we're using those words only as a pointer to the essence of who you are. Thank you. So as we sit here, I'd like to put a little question mark into your mind and like you to ask yourself whether at this moment you're thinking. So You will know the answer and try it again. I'll stop speaking for a few seconds and just be alert inside yourself to find out whether you're thinking, because usually you don't even know that you're thinking, you are the thinking. So there's no outside thing that knows that you are thinking, you are just thinking, you become the thinking, the thinker, and the thinker is the person. And to step out of the person, you have to experience that there is a dimension in you where the person is not, but something deeper is there. That's what we want to explore. So again, a moment of stillness. In The Power of Now, I talk about a cat watching a mouse hole. Now, if you've ever watched a cat watching a mouse hole, then you will have noticed that the cat could spend a long time there being extremely alert and just watching, in the same way that my dog watches a treat when I put it down and say, not yet. And then the dog goes. And so the cat watches the mouse hole, is in a state of complete attention. So one spiritual master, I believe it was a Sufi master, said his teacher had been a cat. When he was asked who had been his spiritual teacher, he said, a cat? How is that? And he said, I watched a cat watching a mouse hole. And by watching a cat watching a mouse hole, I realized, I awakened. Because by watching a cat, he entered a state of alert attention in which there's no thinking, like now. Just that. There's no, so that just a short moment, but it's not matter how long. It's a wonderful thing to realize that you can not think. It's a wonderful thing to realize that you are still there when you're not thinking. As Oprah said when we started for the first time with a moment of silence, and then we started to talk again, she said, okay, I'm still here, I just checked in, I'm still alive, I'm still here, I haven't disappeared. One more time. Be alert. You need to be alert to know whether you're thinking or not. So there's an alertness, like a cat, and there may be thinking or there may not be thinking, there may just be the alertness. I also mentioned in The Power of Now that another question you can ask yourself is, what's my next thought going to be? I'm going to just watch out, see what the next thought is that's going to come into my mind. And if you're very alert, it'll be quite a while before the next thought comes. But the moment the degree of alertness decreases, thoughts come flooding back in. It's interesting experiments you can do with yourself and your mind. Now, from the point of view of the usual thinking mind, the realization that there is a dimension in you where thinking either does not happen at all or becomes unimportant, to the thinking mind, that is either a threat or completely uninteresting. Because what could be less interesting than not thinking? So from the point of view of the thinking mind, the state of consciousness in which there is no thinking is either a threat, oh, I don't want to go there, I'm going to disappear, But of course, Oprah didn't disappear after the stillness. I'm still there, I'm still alive. And then when she said that, I said, perhaps you're even more alive now. And that is pointing to something. There is an intensification of aliveness when you begin to enter that, let's call it, dimension in yourself. The dimension in which compulsive thinking doesn't operate anymore. But you have to be careful because you could easily, what we're doing here is we rise above thinking. We become so alert that thinking either doesn't happen or is seen as unimportant. From there, you can easily suddenly drop through thinking to below thought. In other words, you go towards sleep. So when you stop thinking, there's the alertness. Here's the thinking level, which is the normal level for most human beings while they are awake, and even when they dream, they're still going on. Here's the thinking level. Underneath the thinking level, there's consciousness. Above the thinking level, there's consciousness. And even within thinking, there's consciousness. Thinking is an expression of consciousness. But there are infinite varieties of manifestations or expressions of consciousness. This flower is an expression of consciousness taking on the form, this beautiful form, incredible beauty. Consciousness being born into forms. And consciousness, not all consciousness is form. There is a dimension of consciousness that is formless, out of which all forms come, the ground of all being. And that's what we are exploring here. Thinking. You rise above thinking, or you fall below thinking. My dog is below thinking. Now, that doesn't mean that the dog is stupid. The dog has its own intelligence. And in some ways, the dog is superior to humans, in some ways. For example, it's more joyful than most humans. Has more fun than most humans. Lives more intensely in the present moment where life is than most humans. Doesn't worry like most humans do. And is loving towards all beings. Some dogs are loving only towards certain beings, but our dog is loving towards all beings. But the dog doesn't think. The dog is conscious, but there's no conceptual thinking. I'm sure the dog doesn't have thoughts. As we have the other day, the dog was in the bedroom in her little house. Quite late, it was already night. The dog was already sleeping. And I was still doing things near the door, the entrance door to the apartment. I was opening the sliding door and looking for something in my coat. And when the dog heard the sliding door near the exit, she came out. She must have woken up and heard a noise, came out running to see what I was doing, whether I was getting my coat to go out. So she came running. And then for 10 seconds, the dog stood there looking at me and realized I was just taking something out of a pocket and I wasn't going out. So after 5 seconds, the dog must have realized I wasn't going out and went straight back into her house and back to sleep. Now, did the dog begin to think in her house, oh, I can hear some, he's opening the sliding door to the wardrobe. I wonder if he's getting the coat out to go out. And then I need to have a look because he may leave me alone here. Okay, I'm going to have a look to see what's happening. And then the dog would go and look, oh, what's he doing there? Oh, I think he's just taking something out of his pocket. He's not going out after all. Why did I bother to come out? I might as well go back to sleep. Back. Now, I'm sure that's not how it happened, but that's what would have happened for a human doing that. Now, the strange thing, how would that happen for a dog? Or the whole thing must have happened without conceptualization. There was a listening to the noise, and there was a sudden knowing that that noise of the door could mean that I'm going out. And then there was just getting up, finding out without, I'm sure, although you can't really get into the dog's mind, I've tried, I'm sure it was without any decision-making process or mental commentary. There was just an immediately response to a situation, and then there was a recognition of what was going on in that situation, and immediately not a decision to go back to bed, but just a going back to bed. So there was consciousness there at work, but not through conceptualization. And for humans, of course, it would be usually different. There would be, as you're doing that, there would be the running commentary that I just mentioned, if the dog had a human mind. There are some anthropologists who have looked at the history of the human race, and they wondered where or how did thinking start? When did humans begin to think? And it seems likely that at first there was no conceptual thinking, there was only thinking in images. So when they closed their eyes, they could suddenly see certain images of things that had happened or things that they imagined. So at the moment they closed their eyes, certain images would be there, and when they opened their eyes, they still lived very much like the dog, just an immediate response without the interference of conceptualization. And then thinking started. And there's one anthropologist who has put forward the theory. He has some evidence for it. I forgot what the evidence is, but his theory is very controversial. But I believe, however, that he may be right. He believed that at first, when thinking began to happen in humans, and thinking in the sense of words in your mind, those humans at first thought that some entity, a god or a spirit, was talking to them. And so the voice of the god or spirit that suddenly appeared in their head said, oh, you better go to the lake and make sure that you catch another fish. And they would go, oh, why is there no fish today? So somebody is talking. Why don't you go there? There might be a better catch there. Okay, thank you. I got a message. I should be going there. It was their own thoughts, but for a long time, because it was something new, they didn't realize that these were their thoughts. They believed some spirit helper or something was telling them to do something. And then, of course, sometimes it might also be the same kind of voice that is telling the terrorist to go and shoot people. You must shoot these evil people. Go, do it. Oh, okay, I'll do it. No idea that they are obeying something that is in their own mind. And so that's how it all started, and then thousands of years passed, and now we have human beings who are completely identified with mind. And their whole sense of self is derived from mind activity. And the awakening of consciousness is the realization that beyond your mind there is a great depth to who you are, and great freedom, and a far greater intelligence than is in your thinking mind. Then the thinking mind can be used by that greater intelligence. But for the thinking mind to be used by that greater intelligence, you have to find within yourself that greater intelligence, which we could call unconditioned consciousness. You have to find that in yourself. If we don't find it, we are going to kill ourselves, because this evolutionary level where we identified with thinking is no longer functioning. It has become destructive. It has reached the end of its lifespan or usefulness. And so if humans don't achieve the transition, they will either regress to an earlier stage of development and then have another go to take a few hundred thousand years, but the universe is patient, or the species becomes extinct and then consciousness simply decides to move through other channels to express itself. It could be another life form very easily. Consciousness does not mind through which channel it comes into this world, but it wants to come into this world. I don't know why, but I know that consciousness wants to be born fully into this world from another realm, from the untimeless, unmanifested, where consciousness does not evolve. It's already full and complete because it's timeless. But from the timeless realm, for consciousness, you can use other words if you want. The Tao, God, transcendental reality, doesn't matter, just words. That which we cannot name, it wants to come through the forms into this world and somehow do something here. Perhaps it wants to dissolve this world, to outshine this world, to transform it, to spiritualize matter. Transformation of the entire universe. But I know what our task is, to wake up here out of being trapped in your own little mind. The little mind. It's not yours, it's just the human mind. And that's why I started today by asking you to see if you can have a little space inside yourself where you're actually not thinking, but still awake and alert. That's the opening into the greater intelligence. At first it seems there's nothing happening. No, don't expect anything to happen. That'll come. It's the beginning. You open the door. You're opening the door to another dimension. Now the thinking mind knows nothing of it, and you cannot use it to enter that dimension. The moment you use it and try to figure something out, what's in there, you're out again. You're not in that dimension anymore. We are opening the door to another dimension of consciousness within ourselves. And then see if the door can stay open while we go about our daily business, or if it can be open occasionally as we go about our daily business. And from the point of view of the mind, it's not interesting because there's nothing. To the mind, it's nothing. And that's fine. To the mind, it's not interesting. And of course it isn't, because when you're not thinking for a moment, nobody could possibly call that interesting. It's deeper than interesting. But at first it might appear, well, there's nothing there, there's nothing happening. But you have to persist and see, wait a little, and see if you can enter that dimension more fully. Just you open the door, and first of all, you experience not so much a positive thing, but an increasing absence of negative things, all the negative things that are continuously produced by the thinking mind, by unnecessary thinking. So as you bring that dimension into your life, you experience an increasing absence of the negativity that is normal when you're totally trapped in your mind, all the negative thoughts that go through your head and that the emotions then respond to. So our destiny is to shift from thought into the realm of no thought, and then being able to use thought from there. In fact, who or what is it that then uses thought? The intelligence that is the realm of no thought then uses your mind. And then you become productive in this world. You contribute something truly new to this world in whatever form, whether you're an artist or a writer, or you work with people, or you are engaged in some organization, what you then make a very different contribution, because it's no longer ego-based. Ego is the unobserved mind, the mind without awareness, that you mistake for who you are, me, the person. And it's a dreadful thing to live your entire life never going beyond the personal dimension, never seeing the transcendent dimension in yourself and in the world. So it's essential then to no longer be trapped continuously in thought. And don't expect results from the dimension of no thought. It could be a while before there's any tangible result on an external level. In other words, that you suddenly write a masterpiece, or you suddenly become a great performer, or suddenly you help thousands of people with this or that and become a beneficial influence in this world. It could take a while, and we don't know what form it'll take. It may not happen immediately that as you begin to enter that dimension occasionally, and then the mind says, you see, nothing is happening. I've been practicing being free of thinking for a few months now, and my life hasn't changed at all. It's still the same. In fact, it's become less interesting because I worry less. Of course, worry makes your life very interesting, and it gives you the impression that your life is so important. My life is so important that I'm worrying all the time, and these are very important things I need to worry about. And so then from the point of view of the mind, your life has become less important. So, okay, I've been doing it for several months, that's enough. I'm going back to my old ways. And sometimes people write to me and say, okay, I've been practicing awareness, presence for a year now, and where do I go from here? There were years when I lived mainly in the state of awareness without any many tangible results. Occasionally I would help people, that was very nice, I enjoyed that. Help would come through that opening. But beyond that, there wasn't much happening. That went on for years. And occasionally I thought, well, there is more that could happen, but it's not happening yet, but that's fine. And in the meantime, I realized retrospectively, there was whatever words we use are not quite right, but let's just put it like this, there was a build-up gradually of energy, of presence power, one could say. There was an intensification of that in the background of my life that had no visible manifestation, really, in the external, not very much. And so that presence was there, and one day, in fact, I gave a little, it came to me to say, please, I can do more, I said to myself. Accelerate, please. Accelerate. Acceleration. I was talking to myself, because you're always just talking to yourself. And then a little bit later it happened. And then the energy stream came that became a book. and so on, and an intensification of what I was doing already on a very small scale. But suddenly there was a coming into this world. But for years there was just empty space mostly inside, walking around and just very pleasant, enjoying the beauty of every moment, of the trees and of the animals. And something was there in the background, and then finally it came into this world. And perhaps when it may well be that after a while the energy stream that goes out may subside again, and I just go back into just the space. In some way I do that continuously, because after a talk, you go back into... So there's the coming out of the consciousness stream, going into words and into energy that flows out, and then the return into just stillness, space. No need to think very much, unless there's something to think about. Where am I going for dinner? Where do I have enough? But even there, you can, it's amazing how many things you can do without unnecessary thinking. And just to experiment, I recommend that you experiment in your daily life. This is the most beautiful spiritual practice. Experiment whether you can do many little things without the interference of thinking, with just presence or awareness there. Because what I mean by that is you are conscious that you're doing something, but you're not thinking about it. And whether you can actually even register things without formulating words in your mind. If you little things, little experiments, it's all very fascinating. You can have a little clock. If you have a watch or a clock that doesn't have, especially if it doesn't have digitals on it, you can experiment with yourself and see whether you can look at a clock or a watch and know what time it is without in your mind telling yourself what time it is. And that's quite a strange thing. There is a knowing without conceptualization then. If you know that it is a certain time, whatever it is, without saying to yourself that time it is. You don't do it with a digital clock, because when you read the numbers, it's almost impossible not to say the numbers in your mind. Just one little experiment. And then many other things, when you're doing a certain task, every master, when the moment you become a master, you don't think anymore. Intuition takes over. Otherwise you can't be a master. Now, sometimes you have to learn first gradually through the mind to do something. There may be certain steps that you need to learn, whether you're building something or whatever it is that you do, learning to play the piano or whatever it is. At first it's driving a car, whatever. At first it's it takes effort to learn, to become an artist, a painter. You learn the techniques and so on. And then a moment comes when all that is not helpful anymore. If you never go beyond the techniques, you won't be a great artist. A great artist knows the techniques and then steps beyond it, and then something else takes over. And that's where your life becomes empowered. But you need to open the door to the empowerment. And it's not, you cannot get there through thinking. And even something that seems to be an intellectual thing, like writing a book, if there's any inspiration or power in the book, whether it's fiction or non-fiction, it has to come from the place, the empty space inside you, that you go into where you, for a moment, you close your eyes, and then you look again and nothing comes. You go back and you look again until something comes through, spontaneously. But it won't come spontaneously. You have to have learned, you need to learn to write first before you, I mean, before you can write a book, you need to be able to write. Or if you want to become a great tennis player, you cannot go into the state of no thought very deeply and suddenly step on the tennis court and take a racket and be immediately a great tennis player. You have to go through many steps first before the intuition can take over. But that's where the dividing line is between somebody who has learned to do something well, and many people do that, and somebody who brings in something new or goes beyond doing something technically well, where inspiration comes in, where empowerment comes in. So it's vital to find that dimension in yourself. So go around your daily life, see how much you can actually do without the interference of conceptualization. It's amazing. And can observe yourself. Is it possible for you to be, for a moment, free of thinking at any given time? For example, now. No thought, just presence. You haven't disappeared, but what is there to add to this moment by thinking about something? Nothing. Why do you don't need to add anything? And what is there then when you're not thinking? What's there left of you, what you had called you? There is definitely something there. No past, let's say, because to have a past, you need to think about your past. To have a future, you need to think about your future. Now, if you're not thinking about your past and your future, you don't have a past and a future. There's only nowness. There's only this moment. So, you have no past, you have no future, there's only this moment now, and there's nothing to think about. There's still something there, and that's the essence of who you are, consciousness itself. It cannot be defined. It's neither big nor small, nor fat nor thin, nor old nor young. Timeless essence has no form. There's nothing much you can say about it. But there's definitely a strong sense of beingness or aliveness that's left when you take that the rest away. And that's what you take thought away. You haven't disappeared. In fact, thought wasn't at all who you are. You thought so, but it wasn't. If you take thought away, you touch the essence. You know the essence. And when I say you know the essence, that's not absolutely correct, because the moment we use words, we create duality. You know yourself as the essence. You don't know it like a subject and object knowing. I know this in this world. That's through thought. There's always the knowing subject and that which is known. But here, the knower and the known are one. You know yourself to be consciousness. It's not separate. There isn't a me that says, I am consciousness. There's consciousness. You know yourself as consciousness. I am that. No separation, no division anymore. And it's when I put it into words, it sounds almost complicated because we cannot really verbalize because it's too simple. It's not a differentiated state. Everything out here is differentiated. This is undifferentiated state of pure intelligence or pure consciousness. It's always there to be easy to just touch it in you. It's always underneath the mental noise in everyone. It's there for you, waiting for you, almost, one could say. It's waiting, and it wants to come through you. Just open, and it comes through. It doesn't matter if you are a saint or a sinner. You open, there's a space between two thoughts, and it comes through. What you did in the past is irrelevant. Whether you accumulated many spiritual credits by spending 20 years in a monastery, or whether you're stuck in a prison and the opening happens. Spirit doesn't ask, well, are you qualified for me to come through? It will come through wherever there is an opening. So your personal past doesn't have that much to do with it. The only thing is it got you here to this moment where you realize the possibility of living in a different state of consciousness. Your past got you here. Well, that's good enough. Whether your past was a successful past or a failure past, whether you built up great things already in your life or whether you messed your life up completely, becomes irrelevant. So you become free from the past through this, because another dimension comes in. This is why it has happened to some people who were criminals. And at some point, suddenly, all that subsided. And a space opened up inside them. And, the unhappy self suddenly wasn't operating anymore. Now, to some people it comes as a spiritual experience, which means it comes and then after a while they say, oh God, it's gone, I lost it. Okay, that's the normal thing. Sometimes it comes once and stays forever. You never lose the connection again with the open space. But for many people, first it comes and then it leaves them. And they don't realize that they can actually welcome it and encourage it. You don't have to wait for it to come again at some point. Why don't you ask for it to come back? I'm not saying you ask like, please come back. No, you ask for it to come back by simply walking across the room without thought, just see if I can walk across the room without needing to be already where I want to get to the door. Just be present in every step. Can you be present in each step as you walk across the room? You're not thinking, you're just present with that. Can I be present while I look out of the window to check the weather? And can I know what the weather is like without saying something to myself or having some kind of relationship or attitude towards the weather? Can I open the curtains in the morning and say nothing, just look and know? There's either sunshine or there's rain or whatever it is. You open the window and there is an awareness that's looking through your eyes. And do you have to say something to yourself then? Do you have to say, oh, it's another dreary day. I can't take any more of this. Do you have to say that, or is it just an old habit that you've slipped into? Do you have to say, oh, I hope it stays like that today, or I hope it doesn't, or whatever, it's going to be too hot, or whatever comment you have, do you need to comment, or can you look out of the window and just know and be the knowing without conceptualization and without like or dislike? Just allow it to be and know. In the same way I suggested you can look at your watch and know what time it is without saying to yourself what time it is. And so you look out of the window, and for a moment there is a space. You are the space through which the perception happens. You are not a person. Don't worry, the person is still there on some level, so you're not going to be spaced out for the rest of your life and then walk around, oh, I don't know where I am anymore. That doesn't happen. But it's a wonderful thing if you realize that you can actually be there as the conscious space for whatever you are looking at. Even at this moment, you're looking at this person. And this person is looking at you. Can you be the conscious space for the perception, for the looking, rather than be a person that always has some kind of thing to say, like, What's he talking about? That's a thought. I don't understand. That's a thought. Can you explain more? I don't get it. Don't believe that thought. The thought says, I don't get it. And of course, on the level of thought, you don't get it. But on another level, you get it. You get it by being it. And so, can you be in your car at the traffic light and just be there as the space for the perception of the red light? It's peaceful. Suddenly the traffic light becomes peaceful. You are there as you're just seeing. There's the seeing and there's the space. Why comment on the red light or think about something that's going to happen or might happen or happened in the past or something? Just be, perceive, and be the space. And then the strange thing is that which you perceive is more alive, and even the traffic light, the red light, has a beauty to it. It sounds very strange, and normally it's only sometimes people who take acid talk about weird things like, when I saw the traffic light, I went, wow. No, you don't need to take acid for that, and it may not be a wow, but it may be, well, that has its own beauty and aliveness, that color. And you don't not saying it, you just know it. And so if you can see the traffic light like that, even more so, that will be the case even more so if you look at the tree that's right next to the traffic light. It has a presence, it has a beauty, it has an aliveness beyond the concept of tree or the bird that just landed on a branch. An aliveness, a beingness that you then recognize from your own beingness and aliveness that before was obscured by mental noise. So unless you become like little children, because this has something to do with how little children perceive the world before they conceptualize. Unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, so that's what it is. But it's even deeper state than the child state, because the child still has to go through the thinking stage and then come out of it. The child has certain things still in common with the dog, not quite, but still no conceptualization, just wonder. And so that's a gradual practice of choosing to step out of the conceptualizing mind whenever it is unnecessary, which is about, depending on your life activity, 80% of the time. You don't need to think a lot. Thoughts may come and go, but there's no need to continuously think. It's become familiar with spaciousness. And then think when it's necessary. And you be empowered then, and your thinking becomes actually empowered. You can actually, if you wanted to create something in this world, this is what some popular books talk about, manifesting your external reality. Of course you can, through applying focused thinking, you can manifest, but if you're in touch with the spaciousness, the unconditioned consciousness inside, then that comes through and will manifest through you. And then it comes as a sudden knowing that this is what I want to do, but the I that wants to do it, it's not the ego I, it is the deeper I. So you become aligned with what the universe wants, it's not just the little me wants. That's the beauty of that. So you can then, you as the greater consciousness, can manifest if you want to. Don't fall into the trap of believing that something that you manifest is going to bring you fulfillment. It's only on the external level. The fulfillment needs to be there.